Well, good day and welcome. Thanks so much to Janine for introducing our subject so well today. We're going to be talking about prayer for the next 2 weeks. And today we're going to be looking at the when, the where, and the how of personal prayer. And next week we're going to look at the why and the what. I must be honest, when we talk about prayer, when I preach about prayer, I feel a bit of an anxiety about it because prayer is something that I have struggled with throughout my walk with the Lord. There have been times in my life where prayer comes easily and my quiet time with the Lord flows and it's regular and life-giving. And other times, you know, for example, when the kids were really small, where prayer did not come easily and there wasn't a lot of time into it. And it was, you know, a difficult thing, a struggle for me in my life. There's also been times where I've wanted to try and impress people with how I pray and where I pray and in public places, trying to use words that I don't understand and trying to impress others with my prayer life. So a word like today's is in season for someone like me, and maybe it's something you can relate to as well. And so when Jesus addresses the subject of prayer, he says the following from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So, Jesus is telling us, is comparing the way he wants us to be praying to some of the other religious people of the time. Remember what Jesus is telling us, that our relationship with God, it's a relationship, it's not a religion. And so he says, when you pray, he says, firstly, don't be like the hypocrites. So the hypocrites, the word there means play actors. And remember, in those times as well, people would have to pray at certain times of the day. There were set prayer times. So for somebody to be praying on the street corners to be seen by men would mean they would have to deliberately try and time their day to be in the synagogue or on a street corner in a very public place when the time of prayer came around so that they could be seen and heard and that people would admire them for the way that they prayed and the way that they were so spiritual. The second group that he compares us to is, he says, don't be like the pagans, those of other religions who pray using incantations and magic spells, and they think that they'll be heard because of the things that they recite time and time and time again. Don't be like them. God knows what we need before we even ask. And so Jesus calls us to something deeper and something more authentic, to a relationship with himself. And so, yes, we want to answer these questions. How does God want us to pray? Where does God want us to pray? When does God want us to pray? And Jesus answers that third question there. Where should we be praying? He says, pray in your room. In some translations, it says, pray in your closet. And what he's referring to is in the homes of that time, most of the homes had an inner room, a room right in the middle of the house, far away from the entrance, far away from any windows, which was sometimes maybe used as a closet, as a storage room. But it would be in the most private, unseen room in the house. And Jesus is saying, instead of praying in the most public place, pray in the most private place, where the chances are no one is ever going to see you there except God and God alone. I wonder if you have a secret place in your life where you can pray, where you won't be interrupted, where it's intimate alone time with your Heavenly Father to speak to him alone without the eyes of anybody else. This is what Jesus is saying. I know friends who have their very own special secret places. Some of them pray in the bath. It's nice and quiet there. Some of them pray. A good friend of mine has a hammock. And his hammock is his sacred, secret place with the Lord. And he has spent many thousands of hours in prayer in his hammock with the Lord. Others, it's a stroll on the beach. Others, it has to be in a secret and private place where there's no one else around. But the safe place, the secret place, is a place to be real with God, where you don't have to put on airs and graces and use fancy language or anything like that. It's a place where we can listen to the Lord, where the noises of everything around us are quietened down so that we can hear his voice and not just vent out all of our needs and frustrations. place where there is intimacy, a place where we are then slowly transformed the more and more time we spend in that secret place. So if you don't yet have a secret place where you can spend time with God, I want to encourage you to find that place. Try out a couple of different places in your home. Maybe it's your garden, maybe it's your bedroom, maybe somewhere else where you can spend this time with the Lord. And it becomes a very meaningful place for you where you retreat to again and again and again. Then the second question is, when should we be praying? When should we be spending time with the Lord? And there's this big debate, is it better to pray in the mornings or in the evenings? Well, we remember Jesus prayed mornings and evenings. The Bible speaks often about him getting up while it was still dark. Jesus went out to pray. And then sometimes he would pray late into the night or right through the night. And often he would pray during the day too. So there is no special one and only place for you to pray. What I would say is, when are you most alert and most awake, most attentive? And give to God the best time of your day, the best hour of your day. It used to kind of be the understood thing that super spiritual people wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend that first hour in prayer. But the truth of the matter is, some of us are so grumpy in the morning, not even Jesus wants to talk to us. Okay, I fall into that category. That first hour of the day, my personality only kicks in a whole bunch later than that. So I spend time with the Lord in the morning a little bit later after the family's gone off to school and to work, and I've got some space for myself. I know others who will pray at night because that's when they're alive and when they're awake and aware. And I want to encourage you, give the best hour of your day to the Lord in prayer and find that space for him. The second part of that question, though, is people will ask, how long should we be praying for? You know, what is a reasonable amount of time for prayer? Well, that's kind of like asking, how long should we be exercising for? Well, the answer is, well, depends how fit you want to be. Depends how much you want to grow. Remember, the Bible tells us as well, Paul says, you know, physical training is of some value, and we see it, we see results from it, but godliness has value for all things. So if you want to invest in this relationship and you want to grow, you need to put time aside. But also remember this, there is no spiritual Strava, okay? Nobody is counting the hours except maybe yourself. God is not counting the hours. God is not comparing you with all of his other children. You want to invest time into a relationship, and remember that each relationship is unique. Having said that, I would say you've got to start with at least 15 to 20 minutes of unhurried time every day. Start there, and if you're spending more time than that, that's fantastic. And the reason I say that is because we need time to sit and listen as well as just rattling off our prayer needs before God. And you need a couple of moments to quieten down. If you're anything like me, when you start being quiet, there are 1,000 other voices that clamber into your brain. You start worrying about the things that need to be done that day. You've still got that song that you heard on the radio playing through your mind. It takes us a while, and it's a discipline to quieten our hearts before we can listen to the Lord. So no, I don't think you can rattle through it in just a couple of minutes. You need some time set aside. And so on that note, how do you spend time with the Lord? Well, because it's a relationship, every person will do it differently. But I want to just show you, maybe it's helpful for you, how I spend time with the Lord. What a normal quiet time might look like for me. And again, this is not a one-size-fits-all for everybody. This is maybe just something that you might find helpful. Other people do it very, very differently. But this is what it looks like for me. There's 7 different elements when I spend time with the Lord, 7 crucial elements that are part of it. The first one is this performance-enhancing substance. I always make myself a lekker cup of coffee so that I'm just awake and alert and enjoy this time with the Lord. The second thing, element, is a nice sturdy chair. For me, not comfortable, but not too comfortable. I can't have my quiet time lying in bed. I will either fall asleep or, you know, just completely lose concentration. So something a little bit more sturdy where I can sit upright and concentrate and focus on the Lord. Then the third thing, probably the most important, is the Bible. I always have the Bible with me, and I'm going through a reading plan at any time. And I want to encourage you, if you're not going through a reading plan, if you're not reading scripture as part of your daily diet, you need to be doing that. I will happily advise you on some reading plans. At the moment, I'm reading through the epistles towards the end of the New Testament. And so I'll read a couple of pages of scripture, and that's just a part of my everyday time with the Lord. Then I also have with me my journal and a pen. For me, for many years, I've been in the discipline of writing down my prayers. And so here's just probably just this year's worth of journal entries. I would hate for this to ever fall into anyone else's hands. What I speak about in here is deeply personal between me and the Lord. But it's the act of trying to find words to what I'm feeling, to what I'm processing, and putting that down on paper in the form of a prayer and a conversation with the Lord is extremely helpful for me in discerning His voice and discerning my own heart and following where He's leading me. So that's a huge part of my walk with the Lord, my personal times. Then I also have a daily devotional, which is short daily readings every day. I want to say to you, though, this is something that is a supplement to God's word. This is a vitamin that goes with the meal. This is not the meal. This is just something that helps you unpack. And so I'll look at this after I've spent some time in God's word and just see if there's anything in here for me for the day. And I want to say as well, for many of you who are getting our daily breakfast bites, the breakfast bites are a vitamin supplement. They're not the meal. I can't encourage you strongly enough, if you're listening to the breakfast bites, read the scriptures that go out with it. If you're forwarding those breakfast bites to people, please forward the scripture and Bible study reading. It's more important for you to open God's word than to listen to what Jan and I have to say. If you forget everything else I say today, just remember that. You've got to get into God's word. The breakfast bites are not a substitute for spending time personally with God, but it can be something that just brings a little bit of extra direction or sparks of thoughts that God might speak to you through those things. So then the last thing that I take with me to my quiet time is my personal diary or my daily organizer, because inevitably what's going to happen as I want to get into prayer or as I start thinking about what's going on in the day, I remember I need to phone somebody. I remember I need to email someone. I remember I need to do this or do that. And so rather than trying to keep that in the back of my mind, I just write it down and then it's resolved, it's sorted out, and then I don't have to worry about it. It's in my diary. So there again, I hope that some of that is helpful for you. Again, not everybody does it this way. Some people, will play worship music while they're getting into the mood and spend some time singing and worshiping the Lord before that. Others will, have scriptures that they've written all over the place and put on the wall that they're memorizing. All of this is helpful stuff. The one thing I would warn you against, and the one thing that I don't take with me into my personal time with the Lord, is my cell phone. And again, some people are reading scripture off their phones. That's their decision. But for me, I far prefer using my Bible, because I know that every time my cell phone pings, every time I see that little light flashing, I know there's a message for me. It's very hard for me not to go and just see what's going on. So I put my cell phone in a different room. And what's surprising to me is every day that I do that, the world carries on and survives without me having to check my phone. Okay, we'll just be very careful of these. In fact, I'm concerned often that technology becomes an enemy of spiritual growth in us, because it demands our attention and breaks our focus. So that's what it would look like for me. I would open this time in a short word of prayer and then start getting into these various elements. And it's never just the same sort of order, but trying to spend that time with the Lord. And I want to say to you as well, transformation in God's presence in your personal time doesn't just happen instantly. It happens over hundreds and thousands of hours spent like this in His word. No one is transformed overnight. We are transformed in these moments into the likeness of His Son. We start hearing His voice more clearly the more time we spend pursuing Him. We are able to quieten our hearts. We're able to understand God's word the more time we invest in these things. And again, now we're going to speak next week about the why of prayer and exactly what it is that we would pray about, because Jesus gives us a beautiful pattern of prayer. And so more of that next week. Just in closing now, just a couple of last thoughts, because the challenge is going to go out this week to every one of you that's watching. Spend unhurried and extra time with God this week. That is our focus. I mean, during lockdown, we need to be praying, and you are probably given more space to pray in your week than you might normally have had. So the challenge is us to go and spend unhurried time with God. But here's a couple of warning things. Firstly, don't do this out of a sense of shame. Don't do this out of a sense of guilt, like you feel like you have to do this. That's like, you know, taking your wife on a date because you feel like you have to do it. That's going to be a terrible date for both of you, okay? You need to resolve, is this something that you desire to do? And then if it is, then set time aside and pursue God in this. But don't do it out of shame. That sense of shame is not from God. And in fact, sometimes we try to do stuff out of that shame, and it actually becomes religion, and it is not life-giving. Got nothing to do with relationship with God. So don't do it out of shame. The second thing, don't try to play catch up with your quiet times. If you've missed a couple of days of time with the Lord, and I used to get caught in this trap, then I feel like obliged to double up or triple up. And it just becomes completely meaningless. Again, nobody's keeping score. Nobody's keeping count except maybe you. God is not saying, well, you owe me so many hours of prayer. It doesn't work that way. Don't try and double up. Just start each day on a fresh, clean slate. That's how God's grace and his mercy works. It's an open invitation every single day for you to spend time with him. And then the last thing is this, always be real. Always keep it real. Stop trying to impress God with lifeless phrases that you've heard. You don't need to speak fancy language to him. He is your dad. Speak to him as you would just, you know, to your own father. Speak with reverence. I don't think we should be walking casually into God's presence. Hey, yo, what's up? I think you've got it. He's your heavenly father. Respect that and be reverent. But at the same time, be honest. What is it that you're feeling? What is it that you want? Don't tell him what you think you want him to hear. Speak your heart out, because it is an intimate place, and your heavenly father wants that kind of a relationship with you. So now I want to speak to just two groups of people in closing. Firstly, if you've never really had a time like this in your life, this has never become a habit for you, the challenge is out. Start today. Start by setting out a time and investing in your own spiritual growth and developing in your relationship with the Lord in secret prayer. It's nobody else's business where you do it and for how long you do it, but do it. And pursue that thing. And remember, it's going to be, the enemy's not going to enjoy this. So there's going to be a spiritual attack that's going to try and derail you from this. But for the next 7 days, spend time with the Lord and enjoy that and see how he transforms your heart and see how he satisfies you deeply. And next week, as we look at the content of what we pray, you'll already have a platform on which to build. But the second group of people that I want to speak to is those of you who've been walking with the Lord for a long time. And perhaps you can remember a time in your life where you had these things going, where you were spending time with God on a regular basis, and it was life-giving. But perhaps because your life has gotten busy, perhaps because you've lost track of things or you've taken your eye off the Lord in the last while, these things are not happening anymore. And you haven't been spending life-giving time with God. I want to ask you to stop, pause right where you are and listen very carefully. Where did you go wrong? Where did you stop? Why did you stop? And can you again begin to enjoy that intimate and secret prayer again with the Lord? Remember in Revelation, Jesus' word to the churches is this, if you have abandoned, you have abandoned the love you had at first, he accuses the church. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works that you did at first. If you've lost your first love, go back and start again. Start with the simple basics of a quiet time, spending time in God's word, spending time in prayer, and enjoying his presence. And watch how he brings back the fire that's perhaps been dwindling or even gone out. So that's the challenge for this morning. And really, yeah, I can't wait to hear what God does as we invest more time in prayer together. And let's close this time in prayer as well. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you know our hearts and our needs and our desires. And thank you for the invitation we have to live in relationship with you, Heavenly Father. help us to pray more deeply, more intimately, more authentically. And in doing so, won't you transform us and conform us into the likeness of your Son? Help us to hear your voice, Holy Spirit, the shepherd over your sheep. And so that we can truly be salt and light to the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we close this morning, we're going to sing a beautiful song. I know you know it. And it speaks about this beautiful friendship and relationship we have with our Heavenly Father through prayer. So stand wherever you are and sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege is to carry everything to God in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for this time together and the challenge this week to just enjoy the gift of friendship that you offer to us. To take everything, all of our burdens and our concerns and our cares, which are many, and bring them to you in prayer. And I pray for every single person who will spend time with you in prayer this week, that you meet them powerfully, that you reveal your love for them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called us is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.